Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Think about what can go right when you plan for the future. Talk to a financial broker and start your savings plan today.
Text 51551. Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1.
Do you see this story here? The Ireland's women's rugby teams will wear navy shorts next season instead of the white they currently wear. It's designed to ease concerns that female athletes across the sporting disciplines now have over playing during their period. Gillian McDarby, Head of Women's Performance and Pathways at the IRFU, joins me now. Gillian, you're very welcome to the programme.
Hi Cormac, how are you?
Not too bad, thanks, and thanks for joining us. Was this decision taken in consultation with the players, or who led here?
Yeah, no, absolutely, it was with the players. I suppose where it came from is the Lionesses would have highlighted this globally last year at the Euros, and so when we were looking at kit orders then for the 23-24 season, we sat down with the players and ask, was this an issue for them, and you know how we wanted to deal with that and bring it forward. So the players all then, you know, put forward that they would prefer to be wearing navy shorts, because basically what, you know, they just want to be able to play confidently and without anxiety, and by changing the colour, you know, that's what will happen.
It's such a simple change, isn't it? That
yeah.
It can make such a difference in terms of confidence and so on, as you say. You cycled at a very elite level, didn't you? Was it something that you were concerned with as well?
Yeah, I suppose it's very different for cyclists. I don't know if you're aware, but we actually don't wear underwear underneath our shorts.
I did not know that.
Disgusting
cyclists.
So from a women's perspective, especially with periods, you know, there's different options for women when they're menstruating. So it can be quite difficult, you know.
So you can't, I suppose then for cyclists, you can't wear sanitary towels?
No, you can't, no. If you're used to wearing a sanitary towel, you have to change then to the tampon, yeah.
You know, it's really interesting to me, this whole thing, because it's not something, because I'm not a big sporty person myself, so I wouldn't have encountered it myself. But as soon as this started to be brought up with Wimbledon last year in particular, and the all-white dress code, it just struck me as so obvious, and how much anxiety women must have had over the years because of the all-white, and then in other sports as well. Do we just not give enough thought to this sort of stuff, Gillian? Like, how has it taken this long is what I end up wondering after realising it was an issue.
Yeah, I suppose if we all think back to ourselves, like as women, it's always been kind of something you don't really talk about openly, you know. So then when you come into a sporting landscape, it adds another stress when you're competing in like a uniform that is essentially white, you know, and then there's that kind of fear, God, is there going to be leakage, you know, and just you don't want it then that it becomes an issue that you're actually you're preventing women from participating in sport, you know. So because that's, I think, what has been happening as well. You know, young girls are dropping out, you know, for fear of that. So we want to remove those barriers.
Do you think it actually went that far?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Like, you know, because confidence is a big thing for young girls, you know. So if they're thinking about that, it's going to affect them, you know. So they'd rather remove themselves from that situation.
It's amazing, Sarah, that you say you didn't come across that or didn't come into your consciousness as well. I mean, it certainly didn't come into mine. Maybe the father of daughters, for example, where that conversation is had in the house and they're sporty. But it certainly, I think, generally for men, it wouldn't fall into their consciousness. But it is terrible if kids, especially girls, are falling out of sport at that crucial adolescent age, Gillian, because that's really when you want to keep people in sport if you want to bring them on to an elite level.
Yeah, it is. And I suppose there's probably an education piece around this for coaching staff and management staff as well, you know, so that, you know, if you are coaching and managing female athletes, that this needs to be factored into it. You know, if you're looking at kit, if you're looking at planning and scheduling and strength and conditioning programs, you know, you need to factor in the menstrual cycle for the athletes during those periods as well.
Yeah, and sorry, just very briefly, I was just going to ask about that, because we see this big campaign about menopause now, which is fantastic to see around the country and people being aware of it and say the name and all that. Is that being done now, that it's being taken into account, that at a certain time of the month, some women will find it very difficult to do what they'd normally do?
Yeah, so our S&C coaches, our strength and conditioning coaches within the women's 15s and 7s programs, they factor in this, you know, so there's an app where the girls would log, you know, their menstrual cycle. And so then the programs are adapted to suit this, you know, so it's a big part of our training plans.
That's brilliant.
Look, it's fascinating to talk to you, and we'll obviously keep an eye on how it goes next season in the Navy shorts, and how many other sports and disciplines follow is a key, I suppose. Head of Women's Performance and Pathways at the IRFU, Gillian McDarby, thank you very much.